My name is Ramon Perez, and you're listening to True North Country Comics.
Welcome to another edition of the True North Country Comics podcast, dedicated to promote Canadian comic book creators and supporters. It's April 7th, 2020. I'm John Swinimer. If you have a comment, criticism, or question, you can contact me at john@truenorthcountrycomics.com. On this episode, I chat with Ramon Perez. The podcast is available on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Ramon is an established cartoonist, illustrator, and designer with over two decades of experience in the creative field. His work has been seen in Marvel, DC, Owl Publishing, Raid Studios, and more. His credits include the all-new Hawkeye, The Amazing Spider-Man Learning to Crawl, his adaptation of Jim Henson's Tale of Sand for Archaea Entertainment, and many more. He's a multiple Eisner and Harvey Award-winning artist and has additionally garnered such accolades as the Honor Book and Official Selection 2008 Silver Birch Nonfiction Awards, Forward Review's 2010 Book of the Year Award, and the Schuster Award for Best Graphic Novel 2012, amongst numerous nominations for his collaborative works in the children's literature, digital media, and comics. During our chat, Ramon spoke about his recent visit to the C2E2 trade show in Chicago, while discussing his current projects including Giant Size X-Men Magneto and Captain America Snapshot No. 1. He also offered some tips for artists getting into the comic book business. Ramon provided his take on the current comic shop situation with some wise advice to keep stores alive. But before I go further, here's some of the current news about Canadian comic book creators and supporters. North Bay Nugget interviewed Johnny Christmas about his Tartarus series. When asked about the collaboration with artist Jack T. Cole, Johnny said, "We have these very big crossroads where things happen, and every issue has a turn that pushes the story in another direction. For each issue, I'll call up Jack and pitch him, 'We need to have this happen to character X by the end of this issue. So this is what I want to do to get us there.' And he'll throw some ideas back at me, and I'll write the script." You can read more at nugget.ca. ComicBook.com spoke with Onward director Dan Scanlon about the anticipated follow-up to the Disney Pixar film. Dan said, "The other thing I'm super excited about is we made a comic book, a graphic novel that's coming out, I believe in May. And being a big comic book fan, I was so overjoyed to get to co-write it with Mariko Tamaki, who's one of the greatest comic writers around right now. And it's a prequel that takes place 800 years before Onward. And it's a story of the Manticore during the days of old." You can read more at comicbook.com. The Ottawa Arts Council has announced this year's shortlisted artists for the Peter Honeywell Mid-Career Artist Award, established to recognize and encourage the achievements of Ottawa artists of all disciplines who have evolved beyond the emerging stage in their career to become recognized professional working artists contributing to the community. The artists include A.M. Dumichel, Rebecca Noel, and Eric Von Allen, who was interviewed for this podcast last year. In response to receiving the nomination, Eric said, "Being shortlisted for the Peter Honeywell Mid-Career Artist Award is a significant step in my art career and a huge honor. I've been aware of this award for a while, but it has always seemed out of reach. To be here now, nominated with the other two amazing artists, is humbling. It's also wonderful to be here as a comics creator. I'm deeply grateful to the judges for the consideration." The award-winning recipient will be presented on April 8th, 2020. You can read ottawaartscouncil.ca for more information. And now, here's my chat with Ramon Perez.
Ramon Perez, thank you very much for taking time to chat with me tonight.
Well, my pleasure, my pleasure.
Appreciate
it. Good to be here.
Yeah. So one of the things I usually ask creators when I get these interviews started is, what was their first comic book? So I'm wondering if you remember what your first comic book was that you read.
If we were to narrow it down to North American comics, I remember I had a pile of, this is before I collected comics. Mm-hmm. I had a pile of like three comics. I don't know where they came from. Someone passed them along to me because I did not buy them myself. It was a copy of, one of them was an issue of Tarzan from Marvel Comics. The other issue was Justice League, and it had this kind of weird bird character. It was a two-part tale, and I remember it was only the first part, so I didn't get I didn't find out whatever happened till years later when I started collecting comics, and I went out and looked for this second issue. Yeah, it was they were on an island, kind of like a island of Dr. Moreau, where these creatures had anthropomorphized lions and birds and tigers and that kind of thing. So I couldn't tell you what issue number or beyond that, but I always remember I was fascinated by these just bird and lion creatures more than I was actually the Justice League.
Right. Yeah.
And then the third one, I'm blanking. I can't remember what that was offhand. It might have been a Shogun Warriors. Mm-hmm. I remember that being in my pile quite early on, also from Marvel. But if we were going to the stuff I first bought when I first went to a comic book store, or actually it would have been a variety store. This is before mm-hmm. I actually entered a comic book store. I remember picking up Solo Avengers starring Hawkeye and ElfQuest number one. From Epic by Wendy and Richard Pini. Mm-hmm. And I think also West Coast Avengers might have been around that time too, which was a horrible comic, but I don't know. It's something about it caught my eye, I guess. But sure. I think out of those, I think my favorite was ElfQuest at the time.
Sure. Good stuff. So lots of good influences there, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So those were my initial kind of buys, but then I just went all over the place after that. I'd read some European stuff before that because my parents would bring some of those over. But yeah, those were the more traditional choices, I guess, if you will.
Cool. Yeah, lots of good stuff there, that's for sure. I also want to talk to you about C2E2, one of the most recent comic book shows in Chicago. I apologize I wasn't able to get there for that show. It's always a good time to meet up with folks, and great artist alley there for sure.
Oh, for sure. One of my favorites, yeah.
Yeah, well, what was this year like for you? Anything stand out?
I mean, to be honest, most shows tend to blur together after a while. It's really about just seeing what faces you see there. And who you get to connect with and chat with. It was a busy show, but I had a great time hanging out with. I saw Scotty Young while I was there, connecting with him. Sanford Green, Mike Cho. Even though we're both Torontonians, we don't get to see much of each other in Toronto, but we spent a bit of time with each other in Chicago. Anthony Falcone was also with me, who's a writer doing some small press stuff, and so. Which is about really just seeing a lot of faces, chatting, having drinks, catching up, and some of the great fans that are also repeat fans that come by. I've been in Chicago since it started, so a lot of faces, always show up whenever I'm visiting the show.
Cool. Yeah, no, it's a great thing to be there, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was a decent atmosphere, too. The COVID hadn't quite fully taken hold or grasped. Mm-hmm. People were concerned. A lot of people were wearing gloves and things like that and whatnot. But overall, the experience was nice and pleasant. And, it was a good show. Yeah, one of my favorites.
Cool. I noted that you donated some art for charity auction, and it was a Hawkeye cover. And I'm wondering why you donated that one specifically.
There's no specific. I just try to donate. I donate every year to the Chicago charity auction. Goes to a good cause, and Mike Negan, who runs the event and also runs Artist Alley and a bunch of stuff for Chicago, if not all of most of Reed Pop, is just a great guy. So I try to support that show and the things that it does to help the community and other things. So I just chose that cover because I figured, well, maybe this will gain a decent dollar for a good cause, right? Only my I don't have time to do. Some artists do original pieces. I don't have that kind of time,
right?
Unfortunately, so I figure if it's a good cover that can go for a good cause and get a little bit of a dime for charity, it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a nice thing to do. That's for sure. So bravo to you for doing that.
Thanks, man.
So you've got a lot of stuff on the go. I know that you're taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with me, but I want to talk about some of your upcoming projects. For example, you've got Giant Size X-Men Magneto number 1 coming up, and I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that project.
To be honest, I'm not sure what I'm allowed to say about these things.
Okay, but, no, you don't have to
It was a lot of fun to do. Cool. my first time working with Jonathan Hickman, it was a very Marvel style script. So it was literally maybe four paragraphs written by Hickman, or five paragraphs describing the whole volume. And then I pretty much just went to town interpreting what he wrote and breaking it down into a page by page script. And I'm not sure this is what he did with most of these, because I know there's been a few annuals that have come out recently. But yeah, it was actually fun. I actually prefer working that way.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it was actually nice to kind of just have fun with the characters. And it's a very kind of, I don't know what to really compare it to. It's not like a crazy full team kind of book. It's like you said, Magneto focuses on Magneto. Mm-hmm. I guess the Island of the Krakoa. And I think for what John mentioned to me, they're kind of setting up a few things for the future.
Oh, wow.
In this, okay. In this Magneto issue. Yeah, it was just a lot of fun. I had a lot of free reign, decent amount of time to pull it off in, which was nice for a change. And I just had fun with the characters, really, in the setting. You know, it's more of I would call it more of a mood, atmospheric kind of book.
Cool. Good. I also see on your schedule you've got Captain America Marvel's Snapshot coming along soon. So my question to you about that is, how did you approach that title given the very large shoes of Jack Kirby, who was original artist on that?
You know, it's interesting, yeah, because I got called in to do the job as a replacement artist. And it's funny because I've kind of done this a few times where I'm not sure if I'm the go-to guy for this or... But I tend to have like a bit of a retro style, I guess, but not super retro. Like there's the look of my work. So, you know, having done something similar when I did Spider-Man Learning to Crawl with Dan Slott, which was me harkening back to Steve Ditko, mm-hmm. you know, early Spider-Man pages. But whereas with that one, I was kind of trying to, I don't want to say mimicking Ditko because I wasn't, but I was trying to like echo the style or the mood of how he did Spider-Man. Whereas with this one, I'm not trying to echo Kirby at all. There's a couple of panels here and there where I lean into the Kirby maybe in my style just because I'm hearkening back to some of the original sequences to the original issue that the book is referencing. But for the most part, it was a completely, you know, like a fantastic script, original story, and that centers around the original Mad Bomber issue, not the Mad Bomber who bombs at midnight, but the Mad Bomb issue. And so I kind of gave that issue a read through. Marvel was kind enough to send me a digital copy, and just to get a flavor for the story, and it's set in the Bronx. In the 1970s, so you know, trying to capture an era as well, with a little bit of a political vibe to it. So it's actually funny. It's the complete opposite of the Magneto issue I did. It's very dense. Takes place in the Bronx, like I said. It's very era specific, but also not set in the era. It's kind of like one of those weird Marvelisms where it's like it takes place back then, but it's not quite. Back then, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to make it timeless and not like glue it to a certain era. But you are echoing that era. So it's really weird, which, you know, it's something I've done in the past when I worked on Tale of Sand. It was very much me trying to echo an era of capture an era, you know, suggested by the writer, but also try to make it as modern as possible to not alienate the readers who might go, oh, this is like I'm not interested in reading about the 60s, you know what, whatever, you know.
Lots of good stuff on the go. I'm wondering if you have any other projects that you are allowed to talk about.
Unfortunately, no, the biggest one on my plate, I can't talk about yet. Nothing about it has been announced.
Okay.
I don't even know if I'm allowed to mention what company I'm doing it for.
I don't want to get you in trouble, but sounds like you've got a lot of stuff on your plate. So that's good to
hear. But it's a very different bend. It's not superheroes. It's a little bit more maybe in the horror thriller vein. Mm-hmm. And it takes place with sorry, it's collaborating with a great current writer in the industry. So I'm excited all around and tackling it and doing it. But yeah, I can't. Nothing's being mentioned about it, so I'm like, okay. They were officially going to announce it shortly.
Right.
I think they were planning on July or something like that. But now with the whole, you know, with quarantine and delayed books, and, you know, stores not receiving shipment diamonds, you know, pulling back on shipments and stuff. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'm not sure what's going to happen. I haven't actually heard from editorial what is going to happen with their book, if they're going to go ahead or hold it off for now, because it kind of falls right in the middle of this entire mess we're in right now.
Right.
On a global scale. Yeah. So,
well, I'm sure when the time is right and you can talk about it, we can have a good chat.
Yeah, happy to chat about with you once it's I'm able to.
Sure.
I've literally been working on this now for, oh God, maybe a year.
Wow.
And yeah, so it's like, I literally disappeared for a while. I'm like, well, I guess I can't really talk about this. Like, you know, so yeah.
That's heavy duty. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Well, I won't pry anymore, but
That's cool.
Sounds good. Something to look forward to. That's for sure.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe if we could switch gears just ever so slightly, just talk about advice, tips for someone who might be starting out in this industry, the comic book industry, and thinking about becoming an artist. I'm wondering if you have any suggestions or advice.
You know, it's so hard. I mean, I think everybody has their own unique journey into this industry. But I guess the best advice I could give, you know, aside from the obvious, which is just, you know, practice. Don't learn from just comics, learn from life, you know, look at, you know, real life objects and life drawing classes and, you know, building objects and vehicles and buildings, whatever. I find a lot of people have a tendency to learn from comics, which kind of is a bad thing to do because you're just picking up the other artist's mistakes and errors and just making them your own, and probably even worse. You know, once you're producing that art, make yourself visible. I think it might not be obvious, but just put your stuff out there. And there's so many platforms now to do that on, because all these editors are constantly looking for new talent to showcase and work on new projects and the like. So, you know, having your stuff out there. And I know for a fact that a lot of these editors just will troll social media looking, you know, for the next big person they can kind of bring into their well, you know. So whether it's Instagram, Tumblr, TikTok, I have no idea, like
sure, whatever it takes. Yeah,
whatever it takes, you know, just get yourself out there, let it be seen, whether it's just doing, you know, pinups, or, you know, maybe doing your own comic online through webtoons or something. There are so many avenues too where you can actually start doing your own stuff and even monetizing it if you're lucky enough, before you even work for any of these bigger companies on a superhero book or whatever it might be. Or, you know, just put together packages and submit them to smaller companies like Dynamite or Image or IDW. They're always looking for original content as well, right? So
lots of good ideas, that's for sure.
There's cool. Just so much stuff out there you can do, like, in, you know, there's, and the more you have your art visible, the more people know who you are. And you're also holding yourself accountable to the audience you're building online. And you're constantly improving and also engaging in the community, right? Whether it be through online or through conventions or whatnot. So.
Cool.
It's good, all possible.
Great. Well, Ramon, those are all the questions I have. Is there anything else I didn't ask you that you want to get across in this interview?
Well, I guess right now it's the important part is support. I ask people to, when they can, when this crisis is over, support their local comic shops and, you know, help these people out, because a lot of these stores operate on such thin margins on a month-to-month basis that, you know, this kind of event that's happening now where, you know, people aren't going out, people aren't shopping, stores are closed, you know, it's going to hit a lot of people hard financially. So, you know, help out your comic shop, buy a gift card even online to help them out during a time when maybe you can't go in. You, that way it's a win-win. They get money, but then you get some credit with them to, when comics do start coming in regularly again, you can actually go and pick them up from your local shop.
Thanks to Ramon for the chat. You can discover more about Ramon on Twitter at TheRamonPerez and online at RamonPerez.com. And thanks to you for listening to the True North Country Comics podcast. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to and like this podcast on Apple Podcasts. And please leave a good rating. Also check out the TrueNorthCountryComics.com website and follow along on Twitter at True North Comics. Please send your feedback to John at TrueNorthCountryComics.com. Thanks again for listening. Come back soon for another episode. Bye for now. True North Country Comics podcast is copyright True North Country Comics, copyright 2020.